We're now going to talk about the Sabbath. We're going to talk about worship. But before we start, we want to set some principles that I think are very important to the lesson today. First principle, what is true about the children of Israel and the activities that they went through is true about a church and the activities that it goes through, and it's also true about us as individuals. So please keep in mind, what happened to the children of Israel and their experience is the same thing that happens to a church and their experience, and same thing that happens to us as individual and our experience. Now, we're looking at the Sabbath in a way of worship. And so one of the first principles that are quarterly stated, which I have no problems with, but I want to look at, is why the Sabbath? So, give me some answers.
Moral of creation.
Moral of creation. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Very good. That is absolutely true. What are some other things about the Sabbath?
It was made for us.
Made for us. Absolutely. Very important. What else?
It was sanctified and set aside.
Sanctified and set aside.
This is the day where we met with our Lord. The church, of course, every day, our link has to do it, but especially Sabbath.
Okay.
Uh-huh. God and angels and Jesus Christ, He is with us that day.
Okay. All right, so far, all good correct answers, right? That's good. Anybody else?
Rest.
Well, who said gift? A gift, absolutely. What else?
Rest.
Who said rest? Absolutely.
How about a sign?
Pardon?
How about a sign?
Sign of what?
Of our allegiance to God.
Okay. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back to that very definitely.
It was arbitrary.
Who said arbitrary? Arbitrary. What does the word arbitrary mean?
God did it on His own. He didn't use any seasons or any other physical manifestation to identify a period of time.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, let's flip it over. Why do we keep the Sabbath?
For all the reasons we just mentioned.
Well,
to show our love to God.
Okay. What other reasons?
Obedience.
What other reason?
It makes good sense.
Nah, I don't mind. What other reason?
To focus on God and eternal realities.
Okay. So you're kind of trying to side up with him with some ridiculous answers. Okay? All right.
I'm going to side up with him with an answer that makes more sense so that we can be adequately rested to be the people that God wants us to be.
Okay. Rested. That's twice I've heard that word. Yes, ma'am.
Whenever you have a relationship with someone or something, you set aside a time to be with that person. And that's what God was wanting, a relationship with us. Set aside a time for us to focus on that relationship.
Okay. For His benefit or our benefit? Oh, our benefit, not His.
Well, but He wants the relationship started.
Oh, okay. So mutual.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
Well, God actually said for us to remember Sabbath. He actually spoke those words.
Okay.
That's a lot of importance.
Okay. All right.
Join the fellowship with friends.
Fellowship, yes. Norman, don't raise your hand. Just got to shout them out up here.
Defense against deception.
Okay, against deception. All right, now then. All right. Now, we're taught, and you know, the statements are all over for Christianity, and I have no problems with it. If you believe in the Sabbath, then do you have any problem with creation?
No.
Okay. So, is one of the reasons then we have the Sabbath is it points towards creation. Okay. Are you positive? I like positive. I'm not hearing positive.
No.
I hear a no. I don't want to. I'll just not listen to that no. What else? Okay. Now, what happens if you keep Sunday? What does that do with belief in creation? I got a same. Come on. Pardon?
Contradicts it.
Got a same and a contradict. Boy, that's why we like about this class. We get opposite ends, okay? Come on.
Depends on the individual. We have to look at each individual.
Okay, all right.
It's looking to recreation. New birth in Christ, recreation. So there is a creation.
Okay. Okay. All right.
If you keep Sunday, you are completely opposing what God said. You're selecting what you want to do.
Okay. What about them Pharisees? I guess they must have been Sunday keepers. Let's look at the Sabbath. You going to say something or? Oh, well, dangerous. We're told in the first five books of the Bible two basic reasons for the Sabbath. One was to remember creation. Certainly a beautiful text and absolutely correct. But the other one, as we read a little further, talks about the Sabbath day to remember what? No, I'm not talking about what to do. To remember what?
Creator.
We already said Creator.
Redemption.
What do you mean redemption?
Well, Christ redeeming.
Okay. What else is it a symbol of?
Deliverance
from slavery out of Egypt.
See?
So we have the Sabbath as a remembrance of creation. Absolutely fantastic. Nothing wrong with that. But we also have the Sabbath as a remembrance of the children of Israel to remember the Sabbath. So they came out of slavery. And where were they to go? Into the Promised Land. By the way, they were less than 2 weeks away when they walked through the Red Sea. They were less than 2 weeks away from walking into Canaan. And God came along the second time and said, listen, I've given you a day, and I want you to remember when you observe this day what I've brought you out from. Slavery, I'm taking you into the Promised Land. Now, how come they didn't get to the Promised Land? Was it the day issue?
No.
Never. It was, they decided, when God said, I think you ought to be ready to go into the land, to occupy it. I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm going to use hornets to take care of any problems that we have. And this land will be ready for you when you walk in. And what did they say that we need to do? We got to check it out. So how much did they trust God? And what day did they keep? Okay. And so they sent 10 spies in there, and 10 came back with what? What'd the 10 say? No way. We can't do it on our own. They got big guys over there.
They were right.
But they had two that said, what are you kidding us? I don't care how big they are, we have God. But the 10 outweighed the 2. By the way, what day did the 10 keep?
Sabbath.
Okay. Now, let's, by the way, What does Egypt represent? Slavery? What else would Egypt in the big picture represent? Sin. Taking the children of Israel out of slavery, passing them through the wilderness and the Red Sea, taking them to the promised land, is a picture of what God will do for the church. The church will come out of sin, will pass through the experience of God, and if they trust Him, they will go into the promised land. But more importantly, it's a picture of what will happen in our life. God has called every one of you in this room out of slavery to sin. And He says, as we walk through this life, if you'll trust Me, you will simply enter into that promised land. And I'm not talking about heaven when we die. I'm talking about the rest of Christ, R-E-S-T, of Christ today. Now, I always like it when the Bible backs my opinion. You know, that makes me feel good. Alright, I got a designated reader, Mr. Ron Combs. He's reading from Phillips translation. I like Phillips translation on this. Sometimes Phillips gets a little different, but this one I think has hit it straight on. He's reading from Hebrews, the third chapter, starting with, since Philip doesn't identify the verses, I think it's around, doesn't make any difference, somewhere in Hebrews 3. Take off.
It starts with today. Today, if you shall hear His voice.
Okay, now I'm going to stop you several times, so you might as well just sit down, be comfortable. When?
Today.
Today. Not in the future, not at the end of time, not when the judgment is over, today. All right, keep going.
Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, for who was it who heard the word of God and yet provoked His indignation? Was it not all who left Egypt under the leadership of Moses? And who was it with whom God was displeased for 40 long years? Was it not those who, after all their hearing of God's word, fell into sin and left their bones in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they should never enter into His rest?
All right, let's stop there. Enter into His what?
Rest.
Rest. Didn't say promised land. Enter into His rest.
Amen.
The children of Israel in slavery had a promise. Elohim, the promise maker, the covenant maker, said, I will take you to the promised land. He called them out. He got them out of Egypt. The very first thing when they got to the borders of the Red Sea should have been an absolutely beautiful picture of what their relationship with God was going to be when they saw the soldiers coming and the sea parts and they walk right through it. And when the soldiers tried to do the same thing, they covered them up. It should have been the first time that they actually said, hey, look what God is going to do for us because He's doing it today. And then they take their food, they run out of food in a few days, and then they start saying what? Should have stayed where we've been. Should have stayed where we were. We had it better. I mean, this is days. But God, who's always kind, always thoughtful, says, I'm going to give them food. So in the morning, He rained down Vegalinks, Vegachops at noon, and Nutina at night. Nobody looked forward to the night meal.
Yeah.
Were they happy?
No.
A little bit. And then they wanted more. And all the way for 40 years, all God was trying to say to His children, look at everything I've done for you. I will take care of you. I will be the one that goes before and prepares your path.
Amen.
And when you get to the promised land, you will have rest. What kind of rest do you think He was talking about?
From their works.
From their what?
Works.
What works?
Just the rest in knowing that they were no longer in bondage. That was peace.
Are we talking about physical work?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. By the way, it's all that God's interested in. He's interested in your everyday cares, but He looks big picture. His big picture is only one concept, to spend eternity with you. And so what He wanted for the Jews, the Israelites, to understand, look, you can go through this desert. Do you realize that as they walked barefooted, they walked in the sun, they did all of these things, they never had a scratch on them, their feet never hurt, and they never had a problem. Every day a reminder of what God could do. And He says, I want you to come. When you're prepared, when we have that relationship, when you trust me fully, I want you to enter into a land of rest. And you'll be so happy there. You'll be working. You'll be loving. You'll be witnessing. You'll be caring. And as the crossroads of the nation, as people walk by, there will be no billboards on what day you keep. It will not be any billboards on what we fear the most. You'll simply see a happy bunch of kind Christian people, and you're going to look at your life as you pass by Canaan, and you're going to say, you know, inside of me, I'm not happy. I hurt. And these people, happiest bunch of people I've ever seen. What do you have that I don't have? And their witnessing then was, well, let me tell you our story. You see, we were slaves. But we had a God who brought us out, who took care of us, and we trusted Him so much that He prepared all of this for me. And if you get to know Him, you'll have the same peace. Not good enough for those Israelites. And by the way, was the message eventually that they were supposed to give, which they never gave, was that taken away from them as a nation? Yay or nay? Absolutely it was. And we move to individuals. Alright. Paul is writing to, in Hebrews, writing to the Jews who are Christians. And the whole book of Hebrews is to say, everything in the Old Testament about your relationship with God was absolutely correct. Jesus has come along and made it better. Only because now we have the Old Testament and we have the life of Jesus. Keep going.
Was it not these very men who refused to trust Him? Yes, it is all too plain that it was refusal to trust God that prevented these men from entering His rest.
Okay, now do you get the picture? What prevented them into going into the spiritual rest of God in Canaan was their mistrust.
Their
was not performance, mistrust.
Now, since the same promise of rest is offered to us today, let us be continually on our guard that none of us even looks like failing to attain it. For we too have had a gospel preached to us, as those men had. Yet the message proclaimed to them did them no good, because they only heard and did not believe as well.
Okay, Hall, stop right there. What was the problem of the children of Israel? They heard, but they didn't trust and follow inside. Rob brought out just perfect last week. I'm running out of time, so I've got to shorten this. Just perfect last week. Unless you have a relationship with God, unless you care for God, unless you want to come and share with God, Sabbath means absolutely nothing. If you're here because you're obligated, there is no blessing. There is no rest. One of the definitions for sin is what, Rob?
Restlessness.
Do you get that picture? One of the definitions of sin is restlessness. Well, if sin is restlessness, then what is God's love? Rest. And this is what Paul's trying to get through to the Jews, is if you don't trust, you don't have the rest. Amen. Talking to spiritual. Nobody cares about labor. Work harder. Sue.
It is only as a result of our faith and trust that we experience that rest. For he said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, not because the rest was not prepared. It had been ready since the work of creation was completed. As he says elsewhere in the Scriptures, speaking of the seventh day of creation, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. In the passage above...
All right, let's stop there. Okay. Now he's saying, the problem was, they didn't have trust enough to enter into my rest. And by the way, when did God first rest? What particular day? And how tired do you think he was that evening? And by the way, that commandment does not say, and the evening and the morning were the seventh day. So Paul says, yes, the seventh day is absolutely important, which it is, it absolutely is. But it also points back to where God said, I rest. You see, God rested because he knew throughout eternity he had the one thing that he desires most for us, and that is for us to be wooed to him, to get to know him, to trust him, that we can take his rest and enter into it. So long as Christians, and when I grew up as a in this church, so long, for many years, I was concerned on, was I good enough? Did I do enough? Did I mess up? How did my checklist look? I remember telling my daddy at the age of 18, I think that I've passed the period of probation. You see, what rest did I get? All I was concerned about was, let's go to Jack Ruby's nightclub in Dallas. We went to Jack Ruby's nightclub, and all we thought about would be our luck that God would come that day. You see, there was no rest because performance was everything. God says, I've given you a day to reflect on creation. Absolutely. to reflect on recreation? Absolutely. But I think the biggest lesson from the Sabbath is not what to do, not what I come to you and say, what to do or what not to do, or should we or shouldn't we? To me, the biggest test, the sign of the Sabbath is, if I have that relationship with God, I found the rest on this earth, and I can abide in Him. And no matter what happens, I have His assurance, His peace, His graciousness, that He's going to see me through it. Yes, ma'am.
One of the things they did was isolate themselves from everyone but themselves. And that's easy to do when you become so focused like they were.
That's right.
And because of that, they were to be priests, but they never reached them.
Never. Never. And the proof is when Christ came. Didn't even recognize Him. Didn't recognize the one.
And God rested on the seventh day from all His works. In the passage above, He says, "They shall not enter into My rest." It is clear that some were intended to experience this rest, and since the previous hearers of the message failed to attain to it because they would not believe God, He proclaims a further opportunity when He says through David many years later, "Today," just as He had said today before. "Today, if you shall hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them the rest, we would not find God saying at a much later date, 'Today,' there still exists, therefore, a full and complete rest for the people of God. And he who experiences His rest is resting from his own work as fully as God from His."
Do you get that statement? He that enters into God's rest is... Read it again.
"For if Joshua had given..."
No, the last part.
"There still exists, therefore, a full and complete rest for the people of God. And he who experiences His rest is resting from his own work as fully as God from His."
Okay. Do you get the picture? The crisis in America, in the world, in the theology, is not over a day. It's never been, throughout the 66 books, a deal about what the day is. It's never been. The big question that you have, the enemy in your life, is the same enemy that the children of Israel had. It's the same enemy that they had when they had judges. It's the same enemy when they had kings. And it was the same enemy when the righteous Pharisees, the church of the day, had everything going for them. The only enemy there was not what to pay, what to eat, what day to worship on. The only enemy that existed was getting salvation by my own works. What do you think Jesus meant in Matthew 11 when He came along and said, "By the way, got burdens? Give them to Me. Come unto Me and I'll give you what?" Do you think He's talking about labor? He's talking about the only thing that matters is your spirituality. We have the enemy. The enemy is well defined. His name is Satan. And he has only one thing that he continually does. He takes a piece of truth, perverts it, into we no longer understand the truth of what that is, and we focus on whatever that is, and he's just as happy as can be. Because we miss the big picture. So, we argue. What day? I used to discuss with my daddy all the time for years, years being 10 years, on righteousness by faith. And when I thought I just was making nice headway, doing good, he'd say, yeah, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, I can kind of see that. But I don't care what you say, you got to keep the Sabbath to get to heaven. Good man. Admire him tremendously. What kind of life is that? You see, God is wanting us in the great theological picture. The question is not what you should do or not do, what you perform or you don't perform, how much or how little. It's simply, do you want to do it your own way? Or do you want to come and enter in to the rest that God from creation has prepared for you? And you say simply, I cannot do this by myself. Only you can do this in my life. Now, let's go to the end of time. You see, we're always looking for tests. So we feel if we have a test, then we're right or wrong, and we love that. Rich young ruler came and said, what's the test for eternal life? Oh, keep the right day. Eat the right foods. Pay the right tithe. I passed! Great! Fantastic! Then what did he say? Sell everything you got and come with me. Oh, I can't do that. You see, the test wasn't over what he did. So we're happy with the Sabbath. You know, creation? Absolutely. All of that. Now we get down to the end time, and then all of a sudden, we want to come along and make the Sabbath the defining test if we're with God or not with God. Well, where in the Bible, through the 66 books, did God give any type of test on anything? Go back and look in Revelation 14, the three angels' message, and don't have time to look it up because Ron's a slow reader. What in the three angels' message? What are the unrighteous doing for day and night? Does anybody remember? Well, I'll tell you. Unrest for day and night. They have no rest for day and night. Do you get the picture? It's not a day. It's not a billboard. They're not certain religions that's going to sneak up on us. They're not certain things that's going to rob us of our theology or our position. The only test, if you need one, is simply the test that's throughout the 66 books of the Bible, beginning with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. No test. God just said, don't go there. It'll be good for you not to go there. Throughout the Bible, and yet when we get to the end of time, we say the defining test. I say that there's only one mark that keeps you unfit from heaven, and that's the mark of the adversary, because if you're trying to get there on your own, at the end of time, the promise is you will find no rest day and night, because unrestfulness is sin. Throughout the Bible, God has simply said, from creation to the end of time, today, 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 enter into my rest. And when you wake up Sabbath morning, thank you, God, for giving me the peace for the last week, knowing who you are, who you care for, which is me.
Amen.
And I can hardly wait to get to church to see my friends, my brothers and sisters, and to say, thank you for the rest.
Amen.
Father, creation, you saw us from afar. And you said, you know that Sabbath school class down there in Arlington? Some are just going to be worried about what's going to happen. Who do we look out for? Who's the enemy? Why this and why that? I'm going to give them a day that has several meanings, but oh, how I hope they catch the picture that rest is found in me. I want to give that to my children. Amen.